Thank you. If you have your Bible with you, I'm going to ask you to open it up to the book of Psalm 67 today. Psalm 67. Of course, you know, as we've just celebrated Thanksgiving this last week, and we take time to be thankful, you know, in our nation and be thankful for the country that we live in, but to be thankful for God's blessings, to be thankful for our families. You know, as we used to go around the table and everybody said what they were thankful for, you know, typically it always came down to, the default was, I'm thankful for my family. And, and that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing, but thankfulness is far more than just a one day a year. Thanksgiving is more than a one day a year event. Thanksgiving is to be a part of our life. I want to give you a kind of a thought here with this, that the declaration of thanksgiving in our lives, when we declare thanksgiving for something, it's not just an abstract ideology, but it is an aggressive act of faith that gets results. Thanksgiving is an aggressive act of faith, and I'll show you how that is. It's an aggressive act of faith that gets results. How many of you like results? Man, I like results. I don't like doing stuff that don't get results. And so to get results, we have to have the way that results come about is that there has to be an aggressive act of faith which comes through thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is defined the tangible expression of gratitude to God for his goodness in the past, at least in the context of what we're talking about today, the tangible expression of gratitude to God for his goodness in the past. Has God been good to you in any way in the past? Amen. Have you experienced the goodness? Well, if you're born again, you've experienced goodness in that realm at least. For his goodness in the past and the blessings that we are currently experiencing, along with future benefits he has promised through faith. Now, I know that's a lot, but it's really important for us to grab hold of the idea of what thanksgiving really is, that it's the blessing, not just for what God has done, but the blessing that we're currently experiencing, all right? We're currently experiencing, along with the future benefits, things we're believing for that God has promised through faith. Thanksgiving plays a vital role in your faith. We've been talking about faith. We've been talking about contending for the faith, how that you and I are going to be contending at the door of faith according to the word of the Lord, and that we're to do it earnestly according to what it says in the book of Jude. To contend earnestly for faith, thanksgiving has to be a primary focus of our lives, of how we're viewing life, what we're looking at in life, and how we're dealing with the circumstances that are going on around us. Faith, as we've talked about, requires expectation. Faith requires expectation. We have to have expectation that is tied with our faith, that we're expecting that God is going to do exactly what he said he would do. It is in the atmosphere of expectancy that miracles happen. So remember, the enemy knows this. So what he works at is to rob your expectancy by using your circumstances to tell you it cannot come to pass. It will never change. It will always be this way. And when that expectancy is taken away, it will directly affect the way that we give thanks in our lives. It's an interesting thing that psychologists have found in their studies, that when gratitude is expressed and it is received, the brain releases dopamine and serotonin into your body into your brain immediately. That it's a powerful, powerful force in your life, this power of thanksgiving, when we begin to give thanks for things. The other thing they found is that it actually develops in our lives when we give thanksgiving, new neural pathways in our life, the way that we view, the way that we restructure our life because we're giving thanks. Whatever we're dealing with, we're finding a different way to deal with what's going on, whether that's illness, whether that's family, whether that's finances, work-related, because we developed this thought process of thanksgiving in our lives, that it changes everything about the way that we deal. Thanksgiving is far more hopeful, than you and I being negative about what's going on in our lives. And we know that negative thinking can produce wrong, will continue to create new neural pathways, new lines in our thinking that we default into. When I think about neural pathways, I think about how we default, all right? How we default, because that's really what a neural pathway is. It's what you're training your brain to do. Your brain is, look, your brain is not in charge of you. Your brain is not in charge of you, but your brain will produce the outcomes that you're giving it to produce. Your brain is not in charge. Your brain is just as the same as the rest of your body. Your brain can be trained. Train your brain. Amen. You develop. I mean, I'm no neuroscientist, but if you follow some of the people that are Christian speakers that are neuroscientists and neurology, they will tell you that, look, you develop those neural pathways in your life. So you default into things. So if your default is depression and discouragement, you have these roads in your head, basically in your brain, that when things happen, events happen, it's hard for you to see them in a positive or to see any kind of way out, because your brain immediately starts traveling down the same road it always travels down. Yeah. Are y'all with me right now? Thanksgiving, what it does is it reroutes, it creates new pathways in our thinking, the way that we deal with life, the hopelessness that life can try to bring. And so faith, it requires expectation. In that expectation, we're creating by thanksgiving, by speaking out that we believe what God has said in His Word, that He's going to do what He said He would do. We're making declarations over our lives, and it begins to create new thinking processes in our life. You know, you might be in a spot right now, look, where your default is always thinking negative about yourself, thinking negative about people, not being able to trust people, not being able to like yourself, not being able to accept yourself, not being able to deal with circumstances, and your defaults are bad. That's not just going to go away because you come to church. Okay? This has to become something that you do on a consistent basis in your life, that you're giving thanks, which is a release. Now listen to me, is a release of your faith. How does faith work? Faith is believed in the heart, and then it's spoken with the mouth. Faith is believed in the heart, and then it's spoken with the mouth. So your heart, which is your soul and your spirit, that part of you, what's happening in there is the word is going in, and as it does, there is faith that's developing. But faith has not happened until you begin to speak that word out of your mouth. And the absolute most forceful way that you can speak that out of your mouth is not just to say that the Bible says it, but to say that I thank God that I'm receiving that. I thank God that that's mine. It's mine. So when you think about that, you tie that like in the context of heaven. You know, if you're born again, you believe you're going to go to heaven. So you thank God I'm going to heaven. When I say things like, we say things like that from the pulpit. Thank you, Lord, that I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Lord, that I can, as Chuck was saying, come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy in time of need. When you're saying that, you may not feel any different in saying that, but what you're doing is you're making a declaration of faith in thanksgiving by saying, that's mine now. That's mine now. Not in the sweet by and by. That's mine at this very moment. At this very moment. So Psalm 67 in verses 5 through 6, and very powerful passage here. It says, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you or give thanks to you. Then the earth shall yield her increase, and God, our own God, shall bless us. Notice here that it did not come until after the people began to speak thanksgiving and praise to God. that as that began to be released, what took place was the earth immediately began to yield its increase. But it did not happen until the praises came forth first. Of course, thanksgiving is praise. It's us thanking. You know, what you're thanking God for right now is what you believe God has provided for you. So if you're waiting till you're healed to thank God for your healing, Now listen, I'm not being mean about this, but I just want you to hear me out. If all I do is thank God for what he said in his word when I have experienced what God said, then all I'm doing is what natural man does, and that is living by my circumstances. Yeah. And I've done it. I mean, I'm not standing up here saying I haven't done that, but look, we thank God before we receive. Because it's the vehicle that begins to take us to receiving. It's our release of faith. It's that declaration. And words are powerful. You know, if you were reading, as I said, reading the scriptures with us through the Bible, and I'm promoting this for next year as well, that Jesus made this statement in John 17. Father, I have given them your words. I've given them your words. Now, when he says that, he's telling us that he has given to us the words of God, and that as he has his words and God's words together as one, that he has spoken those words, and that the word that he has given to us is the vehicle that's going to bring about kingdom results in our life. But it cannot happen consistently, I'll say, without thanksgiving. Cannot consistently happen without thanksgiving. Look at, if you have your Bibles there, turn to Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 19. I'm going to read this. I want you just to make sure you at least write this down. It's a powerful passage. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified version to you. But Jeremiah 30, 19 through 20. Out of them, the city and palace, will come songs of thanksgiving, and the voices of those who make merry. And I will multiply them, and there will not be a few. And I will also glorify them, and they will not be small. Their children, too, shall be as in former times. Now, this is really key, because if you're looking at a situation in your life where your kids have gotten far from God, this is a great passage to talk about in your declaration of thanksgiving. Their children, too, shall be as in former times, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish those who oppress them. So what is this verse? What are these verses telling us here? That it is through thanksgiving that increase happens. He said, I will multiply them. It's through thanksgiving that increase and multiplication begins to take place. And then it is through you and I making those declarations that God begins to move into our families and to bring them back to where they need to be with God. Amen. No one is too far from God. Say that out loud with me. No one is too far from God. And that's a fact. Listen, God's spirit is everywhere on this planet. And he is right where your family member is right now. There are angels there because you've been praying. Don't undo what you're praying and believing for with doubt and unbelief. Speak in thanksgiving, and that'll keep you out of doubt and unbelief. It'll keep you out of doubt and unbelief. So when we deal with stuff in our family, whatever child you know that is, or grandchild, or brother, or sister, we say, Father, we thank you that you're at work in their lives and that you're bringing them to your divine purpose because you've called all things to work together according to your plan, Lord God, and those who are called according to your purpose. And I thank you they're called according to your purpose. Purpose according to Romans chapter 8. I thought I'd get a better amen on that. So what we have to do on our part is stay in thanksgiving. Not just once in a while, but it becomes a regular regiment of our lives to thank God for what we have in our lives on a daily basis. On a daily basis. Instead of griping about the money you don't have, begin to thank God for the money you do have. Then begin to thank him for what's coming. Amen. Instead of griping about the health you have now, thank him that not everything has fallen apart.
That's right.
Amen. That's the beginning. And then begin to thank him that he has provided for you the vehicle to receive miraculous divine healing. And thank him every day, as many times as you could think about it. Because see what, and the same goes with the kids, and the same goes with everything, that we find thankfulness in the midst of that. Hebrews 13:15, I think it's such a powerful verse. We've got it up there on the screen. It says, therefore, by Jesus, or by him, let us continually, not just once in a while, offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So see, right there is praise and thanksgiving together. So what is he telling us to do here? He's saying, look, this is, you got to do this all the time. This has got to become a part of your life on a hour by hour, minute by minute, everything you're dealing with, creating new thoughts and new processes in our lives that we're giving thanks in the midst of that. And we're not thanking, I want to just clarify this. We're not thanking God for what is happening. Because we know in our spirit, that's why you're so aggravated by this stuff when it happens, because in your spirit, it's not, you know it's not right. You become aggravated. You know, look, everything about you knows that sickness is not right. Everything about you. You don't like sickness, you don't want sickness, you don't want your body to age and fall apart. Every part of you knows that. Don't buy into it. Amen. Don't give in to it. God has provided in his word the vehicles for us, the abilities for you and I to be able to continue to experience the blessing of his word in our lives to death, till we're gone. And that's how we ought to choose to live. With the fullness of everything. Amen. With the fullness of everything God has said. The Bible says that Moses, when he was 100 years old, his forces had not abated, which means that his eye had not grown dim and his forces had not abated. The words abated there means he hadn't dried up. Hallelujah. I'm not going to dry up. Amen. But the only way that changes in our lives is by you and I thanking God for what he has already provided for us. Listen to this. Isaiah 57:19. It's there on the screen. I create the fruit of the lips. All right, so stop right now. Everybody look at me right now. If God were to make what you've been saying, is that what you really want? If God were to create what you've been saying this week, is that what you really want? Is that really where you want to? Is that really what? That's why I never joke around about Alzheimer's, part-timers, or anything of that nature. I never joke around about growing old and, well, I guess I'm just getting old or I'm getting forget. Look, stop doing all of that nonsense. You're buying into the lie.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. That's
say, well, Pastor, I mean, come on, you're being hard. Yeah? Yep. I am. Because I love you, because I care about you. And I know this, your mouth is creating your future. You say, well, no, God's in charge of my future. Not if your mouth is speaking against it. Because where your mouth goes, your life goes. Where your mouth goes, your life goes. Your mouth goes where your heart is, but your mouth will lead your future. It'll speak to your future. It's the prophetic foretelling of where things are going. So let me ask you again. If God were to create today what you've said this last week, is that really what you wanted to have happen? See, he said, I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him who is far off and to him who is near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. And I will heal him. So what are you speaking over your life in thanksgiving that God has already said is yours? What are you speaking over your life? So let's just apply this to ourselves with this. Thanksgiving moves from a simple act of cultural courtesy and appreciation. Just being nice, you know, thank you. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for being a blessing. Thank you for giving. Thank you for the gift that you gave to me. It moves from just being a cultural courtesy or a simple act to a strategic summons of covenant promises of God's intervention. It becomes a strategic summons of the covenant promise of God's intervention. When we give thanks, we are declaring that God is already working in that situation and turning it around. Say, okay, well, where is that at? Let's look at some examples. I have a bunch that I can use for myself, but I'll just use these biblical ones this morning. Romans chapter 4, verses 19 through 20. This is out of the Amplified Bible. Abraham, he did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which was as good as dead, because he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's dead womb. Notice this now. It doesn't say that he didn't recognize it, but he didn't consider it. What is it that you and I are considering? What are we considering as outcomes? Because see, when you consider bad outcomes, you begin to plan for bad outcomes. He didn't consider these things. He didn't keep them there. He didn't allow them to remain there. I mean, God's made a promise that everything, and it's hard for us to comprehend this, but God's made a promise that he knows physically, that Abraham knows physically, there's no way this can happen. Things are not working like they used to work. Things are not doing what they used to do. I'm not the same person. I'm beyond those years. Sarah's beyond those years. It's not getting better, it's getting worse. But God is not limited. Now listen to me. God is not limited by the natural courses of life. He's not limited by the natural courses of life. So how do we stay strong in faith? It says he didn't recognize, he didn't consider it, he didn't stay focused on that part. It says in the next verse, verse 20 in the Amplified, no unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubtingly question concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. See, there's your thanksgiving again. So look, no matter what he did, even though he knew these things were true, he didn't, you know, we're not, God didn't call us to walk in life in denial, all right? We're not to live our lives in denial. The sickness is real, the problem, age is real, family issues are real. I mean, they're all real deals. Lack of money is a real situation. But where is your focus at? Where is your faith being released into? And that's where you and I, we begin to speak out and we grow strong in our faith and don't stay weak in our faith. And if you're weak in your faith today, look, all you got to do is just do a checkup from the neck up. You'll find out exactly why you're weak in faith. Because you're creating the wrong things with your mouth. You're letting the wrong things dwell in your heart, and what we have to do is turn that around and begin to declare what God has said in his word and say, God, not only do I declare what you've said you would do, but I thank you that it's a done deal already in your mind. Mm. 10 lepers. Luke 17, 17 through 19. 10 lepers were prayed for. Jesus told them to go and to make a declaration. They wanted to be free from their leprosies. Only one came back. Jesus made this statement in verse 17. So Jesus answered and said, "Where were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith," and he recognizes faith by his action of coming back and giving glory to God, for this, that he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole," or well, completely. Everything leprosy has taken is now restored to you. You want restoration in your life of what you've lost? You're going to have to start praising God for what he said he would do. How about the loaves and fishes were the miracle of feeding the 5,000, Matthew 14. And he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. He took 5 loaves and 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he blessed, broke the bread, and gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitudes. When he blessed it, he gave thanks for it. And as he thanked God for it, multiplication began to happen. Thanksgiving creates multiplication. See, if you're focused on what you don't have, then you're not focused on what you can have. You guys are making me work awfully hard. If you're focused on what you don't have on any realm, all right, then you're not focusing on what you can have. And if you're not focused on what you can have, then you're not going to give thanks. How about one more? Jonah. You know, Jonah, he got away from God. He ran away. And he didn't want to go to Nineveh. Nineveh, you know, was so many miles away, he decided he was going to Spain, and which was, I think it was 3 times the distance of where God had told him to go. And he got on the boat and was ready to go. And of course, they had problems. They couldn't go anywhere. So Jonah said, throw me into the sea. They didn't want to do it, but they did it because they knew they were going to be shipwrecked if they didn't do something. Of course, God provided a fish to come and swallow Jonah, to take him in. And here he is. He's down in the fish's belly. No light, completely dark, surrounded by, you can only imagine what, right? In a pretty bad place in his life. And I want you to notice that as he's in this whole situation he's dealing with in chapter 2 and verse 9, this is what Jonah said. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And immediately the Bible tells us the fish vomited him up put him back on the shore. You might feel that way about some of the stuff going on in your life. But focusing on where you are right now is not going to get you to where you want to be. Jonah began to give thanks to the Lord in the fish's belly. You say, well, it's pretty bad where I'm at right now. Well, can you give thanks in the midst of it? Can you find something to start with just to give thanks? And just to begin to ask God, saying, God, Lord, I believe what your word says, and I start praising you for that. Your praise and thanksgiving are a direct reflection of what you believe now and what you expect in the future. They're a direct reflection of what you believe now and what you're expecting to happen in the future. What you're expecting. So, you say, well, would Jonah have got out of the fish's belly had he not gave thanks? I don't think so. I think he'd have just been dissolved with the rest of the fish. And we don't know how much of him was dissolved in 3 days. It's hard to tell. Could have lost all his hair. Could have turned bleached white. I mean, who knows? He could have been quite a sight when he got to Nineveh finally. But the thing is that everything turned. Abraham stayed strong in faith because he gave thanks. The leper was made whole because he gave thanks. You and I experience the fullness of what God has declared for us, and we're able to keep ourselves focused on the future of what God is going to do by our giving of thanks. Not just saying, Lord, thank you for what you did in the past, but God, thank you for what you're going to do in the future. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Thessalonians, and we'll wrap up this morning. You get anything out of this today?
Yes.
All right. First Thessalonians chapter 5, we'll use these as our last verses here. Verse 16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And I run into people sometimes, they're wondering about, well, what is God's will in this situation? No matter what it is you're dealing with, the beginning of understanding the will of God is by giving thanks in the midst of that situation. We cannot expect God to tell us things if we're not going to do the things he already told us to do.
right? We can't expect you like just like, well, I didn't like, you know, God, that's your plan A, but do you have a B? Right? God didn't have a plan B, all right?
Yeah.
He has a plan A, which is declared in his word. And he tells us in the midst of that.
So, you know, you go to the doctor's office and the doctor says, hey, we found a lump. And, you know, we need to do it.
And maybe it turns into something more than just a regular lump. We've had lots of people who have had to deal with that. But is that the final word? Well, no, it's not the final word. So what do we do when that happens? We begin to thank God. One, we thank God that we have good doctors we can go to.
Yep.
Amen. And we thank God that he is with us in the midst of what we're dealing with. And we thank God that his word has provided healing for us. That this tumor is not the final word. It is not the final word. And so we begin to make those declarations. The key, and just the key for us, is to take a step back and find what can I be thankful for in this situation. And you are never thankful for what the devil is doing. And sickness and disease is not from God. And poverty is not from God. And sin is not from God. And your kids going to hell is not from God. Are you all here? And being married to a monster is not from God. So what can I take a step back and begin to give thanks for in the midst of that? You know, maybe you've got a child that's just gone totally, doesn't want to hear about God, doesn't want to be anything about God, doesn't want you talking to them about God. And you're like, well, what can I thank God about in that situation? Well, do they still talk to you? So, Father, I thank you that this son, this daughter, still talks to me. Still listens to some things that I say. I thank you, Lord God, that I'm able to spend time with them. And see, you say, well, that's not where my faith is, but it's the beginning of your faith. Don't get lost here. That's the beginning. That's the beginning of the release of your faith, because you're finding ways. And I promise you, if you start there, I promise you, because I know God, if you start there with what you can be thankful for, that thanksgiving will increase as you are thankful for them. I've seen it happen time and time again. But it has to begin with us taking a step back and finding what we can be thankful for. And you know, we're a sorry lot, the human race. I mean, just in our humanity, all right? Because we can sit in a house with a 60-inch television set, heat blowing out the heater, right? Or air in the summer, lights that we can turn on, stoves that we can cook at, microwaves that we can burn stuff in, and gripe about that we don't have a 70-inch TV set. This is my pre-Christmas sermon, right? And run out at 4 a.m. in the morning on Black Friday so that we can buy something bigger and better and shinier than we had before. And great, because now what we once had that was working so well. You know, I'm old school. I can remember that if you had a 22-inch TV set in a box about as wide as this, you were like, man, we got the latest tech, man. We're awesome. Wow. Glory. And then when color came out, wow, man, we were like, we're something now, right? Well, look, what you have does not identify who you are. Amen. And the minute you let that start identifying who you are, you're on a downhill skid. You are who God says you are. And if we don't find ways to thank God for the mac and cheese that's on the table, forget about getting any hot dogs to go in it. You got to give thanks. Say, well, I'm in pain. I've got a problem physically. Just begin to thank God. You're still alive. Glory to God. Amen. I'm still breathing. Thank God for the parts of your body that are working right. Is anything working right? Huh? Yeah, something is. God, I thank you that I can see. I thank you, Lord God, that I can hear. I thank you, Lord God, that I can smell. I thank you, Lord God, for what I can do instead of what I can't do.
Yep.
And God, I'm going to control. And here's now we'll close with this. I'm going to control what I can control. I'm going to declare your word over what I can do instead of what I can't do. And I'm going to leave all the can't do up to you.
That's right. That's right.
That's good. Amen. Because when you do what you can do, God will do what you can't do. Amen. Stand up with me if you would. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I preach myself happy. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, for this last week that we could have a time of thanksgiving. But Father, more than that, I thank you that you have made such bold declarations over our life for us, Lord God, to begin to rewire our thinking, to look at life differently, Lord, when things go wrong and things, Father, when things aren't working out the way that we thought that they should, that you've given us a new strategy of thanksgiving, Lord God. That, Lord, when the tire blows out, Father God, that we thank you that we have a spare, or thank you that we could call somebody that can help us, or thank you that, Lord God, that we still have a vehicle, Lord, we just need a new tire and not a whole new vehicle. Father, help us to, in our lives, Lord God, to live in gratitude, not just for what people do for us, but God, to live in gratitude for everything you are doing for us. And Father, may we this week practice the attitude of gratitude in our lives, the power of thanksgiving, Lord God, that we are making declarations over our lives. Lord, you're creating the fruit of our lips. Lord, that this week we live with a cognizant awareness, Lord God, in our lives of thinking, Father God, is that what I want to see created in my life? Father, may we speak those things that are just and true, and may our thought processes move towards those things as well, Lord God, to think on these things as you said from your word. And I thank you for that, Father God, in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Let me ask our prayer team to come, if you would, guys and gals. Hallelujah. Amen. We appreciate you guys so much. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. And I had one thing that I just mentioned, and I'll let Chuck, I know he's got a couple of things here. I felt in my spirit somebody was really facing, and I just had this kind of heaviness about a dire financial situation. You know, when we come to the altar, we don't pray for money, okay? But we can pray, we can come into agreement for God's provision. And look, I know situations where people's hospital bills were canceled. I mean, just written off. Just all of a sudden, they got a letter in the mail. Totally forgiven. So not always getting money to you is the answer. Let's not limit God for what he can do. Okay? And so, and maybe it's not a hospital thing. Maybe it's a bank note or something like that. But you're just in a situation that it's impossible. And I just want to encourage you today that get somebody to get in agreement with you that this thing gets taken care of. And then from this day forward, begin to thank God that it is taken care of, that it's taken care of according to his word. My God shall supply all our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Chuck?
Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for that word. It was not just a Thanksgiving service message. It's a lifestyle message.